Welcome to Stop the Presses here on the 23rd, I believe it is, of June 2021. I'm on my annual Michigan sojourn. You might say I'm in the Michigan Bureau. And I am joined today again by my videographer and engineer and longtime Patriot friend, Ron Avery. And as is per usual these days, we're simulcasting the video of this show to livestream.com/ Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, / Stop the Presses. And that's a relatively new innovation we've done with the show. Ron has his own show here in RBN Tuesdays and Thursdays, The Search for Lawful Government. This show, Stop the Presses, runs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, same time, 2 to 3 Central, 3 to 4 Eastern, same time as Ron's here at RBN. So my guest today is a first-time guest, and he's on the phone line. He doesn't happen to have a video link for today. His name is David Callum. He's a rancher, has a ranch, I believe it's southwest of San Antonio, somewhere in the Kinney County region, if I'm not mistaken, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong. But David was at the June 10th Del Rio Border Summit, where Greg Abbott addressed a room full of law enforcement and ranchers and other interested parties. Very important things are happening right now. And I understand that Governor Abbott is calling a special session, but so far, to a degree to my dismay, so far it doesn't seem to be about the border. The special session seems to be focusing on other things. I'll flesh that out. Maybe I don't have totally accurate information, but at any rate, David, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. ¿Qué pasó?
Yeah, great to have you on. David and I spoke before off the air. I was getting acquainted with him and getting to know him a little bit and understand what he's been dealing with. David, you were at the summit. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. And we're going to play in just a couple minutes an audio clip. But how did it go? How do you think the people like yourself, concerned ranchers, were received? Did you feel like the governor heard you?
I felt like the governor heard us to some degree, yeah, but I was pretty disappointed with the outcome.
In a nutshell, what was the main thing you were disappointed about? Again, we'll play an audio clip, well, actually an audio-video clip for the video viewers. They'll be able to see it, and audio-only listeners listening through republicbroadcasting.org, of course, we'll just hear the audio part of it. But so we'll see what he had to say. He gives some numbers in what we're about to play, the numbers swelling across the border, how much the illegal entries have went up. But what was the thing that disappointed you?
Well, Mark, we feel like it's important the governor just close the border 100% and deport all illegal aliens. We have a legal way of coming into the country, and they should follow that. We feel like that the effort by the Biden administration is to replace us as voters. And we feel that's treasonous. And so we want the governor to protect us and our voting rights as citizens of the United States and close the dang border.
Yes. Certainly the federal government has the power to repel invasions. That's in the Constitution. And there's supposed to be an understanding, Ron and I have talked about this on and off the air, that the federal government is arguably the main agency to secure the border. But when that federal government fails or actually actively departs from its responsibility of closing, sealing, defending, securing the border, then the states have the natural prerogative to do it themselves, lest they completely give up their statehood and their sovereign integrity. And what state worth being called a state of the United States would want to do that? So, in other words, it's very straightforward. You're wanting to see something very definitive and very, clear in terms of drawing a line in the sand. In other words, did the governor seem noncommittal in that sense, or he just didn't go there?
Yeah, I just didn't go there. He seemed to be suggesting that arresting the illegals would solve the problem. But, of course, as soon as their sentence is served, they're going to be turned over to Border Patrol, who's going to release them into the country. So all we'll have done is kept them housed for a period of time and cost us a lot of money. But the end result's the same.
You're not the first one I've heard this from. I've talked to other ranchers over the years, even before the current circumstances, and other interested Texas patriots, and I'm hearing much the same thing, especially lately, that this would mean arresting them, housing them, feeding them on, at taxpayer expense, and then the jail capacity would swell, and there'd be, like you say, a deference of activity, but then once that's over, they would be released back into the bloodstream, if you will, that they would already be in anyway. And that's this process whereby Biden got rid of the Mexico side for processing asylum applications and has them applying here, which, of course, once they get a foothold here, it's very hard to turn things around for reasons I probably don't need to go into in grave detail. But at this point, let's have Ron Avery play a audio video clip of at least 5 to 6 minutes of Governor Abbott and some of what he had to say at the June 10 Del Rio summit. And it'll just take a moment. Bear with us, those listening audio only and those looking at the video part of this show.
So one thing that we talked about, we've been in meetings all day, one thing we know, and that is a border crisis is plaguing the farmers, the ranchers, the residents of the entire border region. Fences are being mowed down. You have livestock and crops that are being destroyed. You have homes that are being invaded in neighborhoods that simply are not as safe as they used to be. Law enforcement. Your law enforcement officers, they're having to redirect their resources to deal with the border as opposed to deal what they normally deal with, which is keeping your community safe every day. County judges and mayors are facing skyrocketing expenses because of the border crisis. Change is needed to fix the border crisis problem. These challenges that we're talking about are a direct result of the open border policies in place right now. And you look at the numbers to see it. If you compare last April to this April, you see that last April there were about 17,000 people who were apprehended. This April, more than 170,000. That's a 1,000% increase. The same applies for May. In May of last year, there were about 23,000 people apprehended. This May, more than 180,000. It is out of control, and a change is needed. One of the reasons for this massive increase of the number of people coming across the border is because the Remain in Mexico policy that was working has now been eliminated, and now people are more easily allowed to come across the border. Another thing is that there's a difference in commitment. There used to be a commitment to say we are going to secure our border. Now the commitment is anybody who wants to come in is going to be allowed to come in. A change is needed. Cartels, drug smugglers, and human traffickers, they're profiting off of all of this. They're making money by smuggling people in from countries you haven't even heard of before. It comes from 160 different countries across the entire globe. Senegal, Bangladesh, Uzbekistan, and fentanyl. Fentanyl is invading your communities. The chief of the Texas Department of Public Safety, Steve McCraw, just to my right, he told me that during the first 4 months of this year, they experienced an 800% increase in the amount of fentanyl they apprehended in Texas. And that's just DPS, not counting your local law enforcement or federal law enforcement. He said that just DPS alone, just in the first 4 months of this year alone, they have apprehended enough fentanyl that could kill 21 million people. We cannot let that happen in Texas. So So let me tell you what we have been doing, and let me tell you what we are going to do. Our initial response to all of this, our initial response to the new administration's open border policies, was to create what's called Open Lone Star. It's an effort that combines the Texas Department of Public Safety and the Texas National Guard, where I deployed more than 1,000 Texas Department of Public Safety officers, as well as National Guard, to our border to begin the apprehension and arrest process of people coming across the border. The Texas Department of Public Safety, they've arrested more than 1,500 people, and together they have apprehended more than 35,000 people who've come across our border. But what we've done already is more than any state ever in the United States. But one thing we realize is that far more is needed. And it's needed for very simple reasons. We need to recognize that the numbers of people coming across the border are just going to continue to increase unless we change the game plan. The location where they're coming across the border has already changed, and those who live here in Val Verde County have seen that. It used to be highly focused in the Rio Grande Valley region. Now we see a massive increase in the number of people coming across the border where we are right now, which is in Val Verde County. And the people coming across, especially in Val Verde County, are changing also. It's not so much the unaccompanied minors. You have very dangerous people who are involved in human trafficking, drug trafficking, people that if you encounter, you don't know if you're going to walk away safely from. You should not have to face that danger in your community. A change is needed.
We'll do a plateau right there. And we may revisit that video. We'll pause that video. We'll probably watch and listen to a little bit more of that later. David, I'm sure you recall hearing him say that. I do hear him say, you know, the DPS are having arrested 1,500 people, having apprehended 35,000. So that's what you were saying, a lot of arrests. I don't hear the word deportation. I don't hear the word border wall yet. We're going to listen a little more, maybe after the bottom of the hour. But it does seem so far to, it spells out the severity of what's happening, but it does seem to be more focused on this is a real big problem and not so much on the solution. Of course, I haven't heard the whole thing yet, but you, of course, were there. What are your reflections now recalling what he said?
Well, I was very happy to see the governor was so informed on the situation. I was dismayed that it took him 4 months to come around to doing something about it, which really is, it's just a Band-Aid that they're putting on it. That's the way politicians seem to do everything. So we're arresting people, I think that we're arresting people now, but they're going to be released back into the country. And so as far as I'm concerned, we're really just helping the administration do what they were going to do before, because now we'll hold them for a while, so there's no urgency.
Well, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that specifically. Wouldn't this kind of relieve the pressure of what's going on and act as a steam valve that might actually enable the federal treason, if you will, if that's too strong of a word, let lightning strike me down. But Biden is obviously a far cry from what Trump was about the border, far more of an internationalist, far more of a globalist, a clash of civilizations kind of viewpoint. Might this inadvertently, I'm not saying Abbott is doing this intentionally, I don't want to grab too much here or bite off more than I can chew, but might it actually work against the perceived goal here and act as a steam valve that would enable the federal betrayal to continue?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And coupled with the fact that the administration, I believe, has realized they need to move as many people quicker than they had before, because we're getting tired of it and we're about to shut the thing down with the governor or without. Somehow something's going to happen. And they're busing people into Laughlin Air Base there in Del Rio and flying them out as fast as they can now.
My goodness. Yeah, I looked on Google Earth and I saw that airbase there. And so they have our military involved, not in defending the country, but again, not by the military's own design, but using the military to actually do the opposite of what they should be doing, and that's defending the border from invasion. In the governor's own words, it's drug cartels, it's coyotes, it's human traffickers, it's more of the criminal element, it's less of the unaccompanied children, less of the families, unaccompanied minors. By his own words, and they've shifted, he says, from the Rio Grande Valley, which is the four-county area down just south of Corpus Christi, to now to the northwest of that, between in the Del Rio area, and you know, in the direction of El Paso. That's what I'm trying to say. But yes, so, sir. By his own words, it's more dangerous now than it was, and yet the state assets could be misused here, and along with federal assets, the Air Force, to actually worsen the problem or enable it to keep going, even though a lot of people might see it as a humanitarian action because there's probably still some unaccompanied minors or the children that have been trafficked. They naturally want to help them. There's nothing wrong with that impulse, of course. We all feel for them, but yeah, I think you've really tapped into something here, David, that this could be really counterproductive.
Yeah, I'm absolutely certain that it is. And yeah, it's working to help the administration. I'm sure the governor didn't intend that to happen, but that's what the result of it's going to be. And you know, Mark, that the people that are being detained, you see the women and the children, but the people who are running to get away from law enforcement are probably have criminal records. And when we talk to the Border Patrol about the amount that they catch, they admit that on a good day, they probably miss 80% of the runaways, the people that are trying to escape their detection. So that means there's a lot of people coming through Texas, and they're not good folks.
Yeah, when you consider the numbers, we got about a minute and a half before the break. The numbers were, let me see, I wrote it down somewhere. Yeah, April of last year, 17,000, and that's just those apprehended. April of this year, 170,000, that's a tenfold increase. May of last year, 23,000. May of this year, 180,000, almost a tenfold increase. And those are just the ones that are caught. And if 80% of runaways get away, then can you imagine what these numbers could very well be in their actual entirety?
Right. Yeah, we're looking at probably 4 million people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the population of a small country or a very large city.
Yeah.
What's I think Dallas Fort Worth is what, maybe 4 or 5 million, maybe a little bit more. I'd have to look it up.
I don't really know. I just know it's a lot of people and a lot of undesirable folks.
We'll be right back.
We don't need.
I'm a rancher from Texas. Important stuff. Stay tuned.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Every day we roll from town to town. We see another mom and papa just getting shut down. And it's the same five stores everywhere we go. And it's the same damn music on the radio.
And welcome back to Stop the Presses here on the 23rd of June, 2021. My guest today is Texas rancher David Callum. And he's giving us his reflections on the recent June 10th Del Rio, Texas border summit by Governor Greg Abbott, heavily populated by sheriffs and other law enforcement, county judges, ranchers like David. And David is telling us today that he's not altogether impressed. He sees that Governor Abbott is concerned. He sees that there's an urgency there, but he does not see there being much in the way of constructive or promising solutions or a real commitment toward those solutions. And in fact, this thing could, at least inadvertently, enable Joe Biden's border treason, yes, I'll call it that, to continue. And a misuse, misdirection of Laughlin Air Force Base assets, as they evidently are providing the airport to fly many of the illegals out of there after they're bused to the nearby Air Force Base, and many other problems here are showing up. David, just a quick footnote. I see that I'm reading a story from the Texas Tribune, and of course, this is an important note for listeners live and on the archive. Donald Trump to tour border wall with Abbott on June 30th, and I covered for American Free Press, I covered Donald Trump's last visit just before just after the November election. And he went down there to make kind of a final salute to his border legacy, even though he had on paper lost the election to Joe Biden. That's, of course, a very questionable thing, and that's its own show in its own right. But former President Trump's going down there to join Abbott June 30th. And other congressmen like Steve Scalise, a Republican from Louisiana, have been there. Of course, the two U.S. senators from Texas. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank here. Ted Cruz and his partner there, the other one, John Cornyn. My goodness, John Cornyn and Ted Cruz have been there as well. But we've seen these politicians come and go, David, Cruz and Cornyn. And Abbott's been, of course, to the border several times, not just in Del Rio, but in the Rio Grande Valley, where I spend part of my year. And Trump is going there now for the third or fourth time, counting when he first became president. We've seen politicians come and go. Is it going to be serious this time? And I know it's speculation and it's hard to say, but, you know, one wonders if President Trump will give Abbott the right advice on what to do about this, because this is really getting to be a dire situation.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't question President Trump's motives in coming to the border. Fully support that. We were very surprised that he endorsed Governor Abbott so quickly. I think that he may not have gotten good information, but we're going to be in the valley. Our presence will be to try to show the president that we want the border closed. So please talk to the governor about it, because it's something that really needs to happen. A short notice, though, we're also going to try to have some people greet Kamala Harris and let her know that she's not welcome in Texas.
I'm glad that you announced this, and I'm glad I asked it. That's important. So you and I'm assuming several other ranchers and concerned citizens are going to go to the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and in front of President Trump — we'll call him President Trump, it certainly sounds better than President Biden — in front of him, really put the pressure on Abbott, and doing that in Trump's presence may very well have an effect, hopefully a favorable one. So kudos to you for that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and it's not a rancher's group. I founded the Texans for Closing the Border Facebook page.
Yeah.
We have almost 13,000 members now. So we're really organized, and we're going to be happy to see the president in the valley, and we're going to cheer him on, but we're hoping that he'll get the message that we want the border closed, and he might ask the governor why he hasn't closed the border.
Yeah, I think there's let's call it a peer pressure of sorts. There's a peer pressure there, political peer pressure, that will be put on Abbott by the way you're doing this. And thank you for mentioning your organization. I was going to mention it later, but I'm glad you did. Texans for Closing the Border, ladies and gentlemen, which formed only a very short time ago, and David can explain more, but they've gained, I believe, well over 10,000 members in just a few short weeks, correct, or a few months?
That's right. In 6 weeks, we'll, here in a day or two, we'll be at 13,000 members.
13,000 members in 6 weeks. Now, if that doesn't show the urgency, ladies and gentlemen, of closing the border, especially under the current situation where the governor himself is saying the amount of fentanyl coming across, and that's only the fentanyl caught by the DPS, could kill in a calculated way some 20 million people. I have no way of double checking that number, but if it's even a tenth of that or even a 50th of that, it's huge. So it is a very, very dire and urgent situation which requires courageous action. We'll be back with more and a little bit more of what Abbott had to say after these messages.
A simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Now, welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses here, 23rd June, 2021. And I'm continuing my discussion with Texas rancher David Callum, who founded 6 weeks ago Texans for Closing the Border. And they've gained well over 10,000 members in that amount of time. Very impressive and very urgently needed, I might add, given what we're hearing about the border. David, I'll read a little Texas Tribune news piece here, not much of it. Mm-hmm. Building a wall along the Texas-Mexico border was a key promise throughout Trump's presidency, but he never fully delivered. This is the somewhat left-leaning Texas Tribune, I'll mention. His promise that Mexico would pay for the wall was unfulfilled, and the 450 miles of barrier that were built were mostly in Arizona, and far less was completed in the Rio Grande Valley, where border crossings are more prevalent, according to the Washington Post. There again, you got to be careful with the compost, as I call it. Abbott announced that Texas would take the matter into its own hands. This is at the Del Rio summit, and build its own border wall to stem the flow of migrants from Mexico. Of course, it's from many, many other countries, Senegal, all sorts of distant countries, some of which we've never heard of. In a podcast interview Tuesday, Abbott elaborated that the wall will be at least partially crowdfunded, and the state will solicit donations from across the country. Have you or your organization, David, looked into whether that's practical or applicable or even legal? I mean, can crowdfunding be used for strategic government defense measures like this? I mean, this is rather unprecedented in the scope of things and in the way the governor's talking about this. I mean, crowdfunding to build a border wall. I mean, I think Trump might have gotten into that a little bit, or people that supported Trump might have crowdfunded for him. But What do you think of that approach? Before we play a little bit more of an audio-video clip of the governor.
Well, Mark, I agree with building a border wall. I hope the governor's thinking about doing a Trumpish style border wall, and not just some kind of a high-fenced game fence. One of the absurd things I heard during that conference with the governors is that in building a fence, you create the opportunity for someone to break a state law, in which then they can be arrested. And mm-hmm. I just think that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard, is that we have to build a fence so that they cut it and damage it so that we can arrest them. I mean, they're illegal aliens, for God's sake.
Yeah, you shouldn't need to create an additional way for them to do something illegal, because they're already doing something illegal.
That
makes sense. Yeah, I don't, of course, argue about the necessity of the border wall. I've seen where Cheryl Atkinson, one of the few mainstream journalists that actually makes some sense, she went to the border and she showed how a good border wall or fence, whatever you want to call it, what it does is it reduces the places where the illegal people entering the country can go through. And by reducing the places where they're able to access the U.S., then you can focus the Border Patrol on those places. And yes. So it's not an absolute barrier. Nobody ever said it was. But what it does is it challenges those trying to illegally enter the country and reduces their points of entry. And by doing that, then the Border Patrol knows where to focus its resources. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes, yeah, that's what they say. Of course, I think that the border wall is a good tool to use, but truthfully, the governor, or better, the president of the United States, but that's not going to happen. So the governor needs to punish Mexico. Mexico is letting these people through. They need to be punished. If Mexico decided to stop this invasion, it would stop. So eventually the governor needs to focus on the Mexican government and trade. And I don't have a problem with him doing that. There may be some legal issues, but hey, the administration is breaking the law now. So we're not real inclined to let somebody tell us that, hey, that's illegal. If you get my drift.
That's a very interesting point. And I've written that before, that President Obrador, I believe his name is, in Mexico, when Trump was in office, I said repeatedly, Trump needs to go down there and have about a 5-second conversation with him. Stop letting these people go through your country into our country, or you get no money from us immediately. Have a nice day. That's right. How I think the exactly. conversation should go. And if that sounds a little blunt, or maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, so be it. But I think you have to be that blunt. Maybe
absolutely.
It's just me.
Very good.
Because, you know,
no misunderstanding.
Governor Abbott mentioned Senegal, Bangladesh, Uzbekistan. Of course, there's all sorts of Central and South American countries we've already heard about, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and China even. Chinese have been found in Brooks County, which is one county directly north of the four counties that comprise the Rio Grande Valley, and that's Rancher. There's a rancher up there that I know well. I won't use his name for now, just to be respectful to him. But that rancher has found many people from Asian countries as well on his ranch, a very large ranch in Brooks County, just north of the valley. So we've got, but they're all coming one way or another, largely, if not completely, through Mexico. So yes, by Mexico getting in on this, it wouldn't eliminate the need for the border wall, but it would certainly make the border wall more effective, mm-hmm. because whoever was left who was trying to come across the wall would have a much harder time, because there'd be such a reduction in numbers and it would be so much easier for the Border Patrol to handle. So,
right.
Yeah, you would have a double layer
thing. Mark, I would like to
there.
Say something. I believe I've heard that the government is giving grants to these non-governmental organizations, and that these organizations are actually going to the foreign countries, recruiting people, flying them over to Mexico, and then walking them across the river on our money.
Yeah, they are probably funded by tax-exempt foundations, these non-governmental organizations. They'll get their money from a foundation that's tax-exempt, or they themselves will be a tax-exempt entity. And tax exemption is sort of an indirect subsidy. If they're not paying into the U.S. tax bill at the federal level, let's say, then we have to pay more to take up the slack. Or some of them might even get direct subsidies as opposed to just tax exemption, or it could be both, depending on their status in the tax code. But yeah, that's a great point. At this point, let's play a little more, Ron, if you will, of what Governor Abbott had to say, not too much of it, and that'll give us a little more grist for the mill for the rest of the show. So take off right where we left off if you can. Bear with us a little bit. Those listening live and on the archive, if you're just tuning in, my guest is David Callum, a Texas rancher for Texans for Closing the Border. He's with that organization. He founded it. And we're going to continue with a little bit more of what Greg Abbott had to say, the Texas governor, June 10th at the Del Rio, Texas Border Summit. It's a border town in Val Verde County. Here we go.
So tonight I am announcing additional action that we are taking to secure the border and to restore order here in the border region. First is what we're doing right now, this emergency called Border Security Summit that brings together local officials and residents to talk about immediate solutions, not something we're going to do next year, not something that will begin next month, but something that will immediately. Second, I am right now invoking Article 4 of the Texas Constitution to form the Governor's Task Force on Border and Homeland Security. It will help all of us to work on ways to stem the flow of unlawful immigration and to stem the flow of illegal contraband. In this task force that I'm going to be signing right now, it includes the following members: the Office of the Governor, the Office of the Attorney General of Texas, the Texas Department of Public Safety, the Texas Division of Emergency Management, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement, and the Texas Commission on Jail Standards. And they will meet every 2 weeks with the Texas Border Sheriff's Coalition, county judges, mayors, property rights organizations, concerned citizens, and prosecutors in border communities, and we will work these every 2 weeks to make sure that we are coming up with every action to make your border safer. So I'm going to sign. I'm going to sign this governor's task force right now. Today, the governor's task force to better secure the border begins. Third, see these documents right here? This is just one part of the budget that the Texas legislature passed this last session. Included in the part of the budget I'm holding up is an allocation of more than $1 billion by the state legislature for border security in Texas. And I'm hereby approving this $1 billion allocation to border security in Texas tonight. This will add more boots on the ground. It's going to add more aircraft and drones in the air, more boats in the water. It's going to provide the resources that you need to begin to step up and more meaningfully address the border challenges that you face. Fourth, I have already issued a gubernatorial disaster declaration for 34 counties that requested assistance because of the border security. So this is the first time I've seen a gubernatorial disaster declaration made for such a cause. Typically it's for things like hurricanes. This, however, is a disaster that we're dealing with on the border, and it deserves a governor's disaster declaration to provide you the resources and the help you need immediately. Fifth, next week I will be issuing a new disaster declaration, creating an enhanced border security plan. This plan includes an intensified focus to make sure that we make it even more difficult for people to come into the state illegally, and to make sure there are consequences for people who come into the state illegally. What this will do, it will focus on making arrests. The Department of Public Safety will work with local officials to arrest anyone who enters our state illegally in trespassing, engaged in vandalism, criminal mischief, or smuggling. We will be arresting a lot more people in the future, so more jail space will be required. So we're working with the Texas Commission on Jail Standards and TCOL that will work with counties to expand jail space. But this can only happen when local communities participate. We need local officials like the ones I've spoken to today, your sheriffs, your mayors, your county judges, your county attorneys, your district attorneys. This is a team effort, because we don't want just to arrest somebody to have them released. We want to arrest somebody to have them prosecuted, to be put in jail, to stay in jail, to create an environment where people will choose they don't want to come across the border into the state of Texas anymore, because it's not what they were expecting. It's not the red carpet that the federal administration rolled out to them. They are going to jail in the state of Texas. Sixth, the ability to arrest will be enhanced by building border barriers. Border barriers will be built immediately. Anybody tries to modify, attempt, or get through any of these border barriers, that in itself is a crime for which they can be arrested. But the plan for the state of Texas to begin building the,
and I'll complete his sentence, to begin building the border wall. And I think we got it at the right plateau there, David. I wanted to hear his proposed remedies. It's interesting what he said, that he's framing the arrest thing, that it will, he's saying it'll provide a disincentive for those illegally entering the country if they think there's no red carpet like Biden promised them. If they think it's a one-way ticket to jail, of course, they're not all caught. They're not all apprehended. Many of them aren't, by the governor's own admission. Is there any plausibility in your view in that, David, that the possibility of going to jail long-term would be a deterrent from coming here in the first place? Therefore, the housing concerns we had earlier, while it would cost taxpayers money, at least would have some appreciably good outcome? Or is the governor maybe getting a little bit wishful thinking there? What do you think?
Well, considering the fact that these people have already risked life and limb to get here, everybody hears that all of these women are raped on the way here. I can only suggest to you that some of these people might feel like they're being protected in our jail. And I got a feeling the Biden administration is smiling, because it's helping them. They'll have more time to get these people out of Texas into areas where they need more blue votes.
Yeah, certainly you can't leave them there forever. He's saying, put them in jail long term, expand the jails, which is taxpayer expense. I don't know that the feds would kick in any money for that. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. But this is a bit of a conundrum. I mean, when you hear Abbott say it, it sounds pretty good. It's an applause line. It's a brownie point. But when you really think about it, there's lots of troubling intended and unintended consequences here. And so I really come back to what you said, that if we could stymie this in Mexico, finish the wall to catch those who are left, and really put Mexico, up against the wall on this. I mean, really get strict with them. Maybe there'd be some cooperative thing we could do to sweeten the pot. But it seems to me that unless you deport and get Mexico involved and finish the wall, it seems like that this thing will just be a leaky bucket no matter what you do.
Absolutely. We need to show Mexico the same amount of respect that they're showing us. I think that'd be an appropriate thing to do.
Yeah, I get the irony there. Yeah, like they're practically showing us zero. Mexico, I always kind of laugh at the Mexican government. The job of the president there is to pay the bankers' debt, to pay their interest payments, to appease the drug cartels, go to a few ceremonies, and then the next day do it all over again. That's the job of the Mexican government and the Mexican president. At any rate, the situation calls for, among other things, organizations like you're creating. And again, you're going to the border when former president, many say current president Trump goes there, June 30th. You're going to, like you said earlier, you're going to put pressure on Abbott in front of Trump and hope for a little political peer pressure there, and maybe put Abbott on the spot a little bit to get serious and to think a little bit more broadly about this. But I know a lot of people in the Rio Grande Valley itself, the Trump train people, lots of people that I know, I live there much of the year, are going to go. So this could be quite a groundswell, and hopefully this will be the turning point to make sure Abbott stays focused on, you know, not just lamenting the problem, but really getting serious about the solutions. I mean, but what do you think about the task force and meeting every 2 weeks with all the different officials and concerned citizens, and allocating $1 billion and 34 counties getting the governor's disaster declaration? He's saying it's perhaps the first time this has been done for a border crisis. It's usually for bad weather or something. What do you think of all that?
Well, my initial reaction was, oh, great, another task force. And that's where I continue to feel. I just don't think any of that makes any difference. We're just going to waste a lot of money, and they're going to be released into Texas anyways. So I would love to see the governor close the border, get serious about closing the border. I would love to lend him my support and our organization's support. But right now, we don't see that happening, and we're very dissatisfied with the solutions that have been given. All these groups, Latinos for Trump, all these different groups that they want the border closed, we've joined up with them. We're all communicating together. So I got to fill in the President Trump's reading is going to be very, very big.
Yes, I think it will be, because many in the Valley miss him. They wish he was in office. At least things were taking a good turn and largely going in the right direction when he was in there, in terms of the border and other issues that we need not go into right now. But I'm glad to hear what you just said, David, that you're cooperating with Latinos for Trump and the Trump-trained people. I'm sure they're all cooperating with one another. And so this ought to cause quite a groundswell, excuse me. I don't see what else might get Abbott to be, you know, altogether serious about this. I'm not saying he's not serious, but I don't know. So many of these politicians, they're worried about their political skin first and foremost. This guy has a $40 million war chest for re-election, and I believe he is seeking re-election. The one thing that troubles me or perplexes me, David, is doesn't he know that the best way to get reelected is just to do the right thing? I mean, is that really so hard?
Mark, Governor Abbott could immortalize himself in Texas history by closing the border and deporting all the illegals. That's all he has to do. He'll be assured a reelection. Whether that'll help him running for the president of the United States one day, I don't know. I just can't imagine how hurt him.
Yeah, I think so much. And Ron, my partner here, who's engineering the video part of today's show, I don't know if Ron, if you want to chime in, at least audio wise, it's up to you, maybe audio video, but we only have about 3 minutes left in today's show, if that. So much of this is fear of what Ron and I call the mass media cartel. It's a big media conglomerate that appears to be separate competing entities, but really has just one message. Fox and One American News are appreciably better, yes, but if you watch them long enough, you'll see that there's some flaws that approximate the flaws of MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, and so on. Ron, so much of it is fear of the mass media cartel, is it not, that these politicians won't quite do what they need to do?
Well, certainly they fear the mass media cartel because that makes them or breaks them. And what you said about the Mexican president, I have a feeling, unfortunately, this very same thing can be said about the U.S. president. They serve the banking interests, the international bankers, and this whole thing about open borders and international borderlessness, that's all big banker, global banking oligarchy or bankarchy. That's what that's about. And all these countries are serving them. And that's why that border down there is open, is because that is a policy of the global bankers. So poor old Abbott, he's up here. He's stuck between a rock and a hard spot. He's got to close that border. He's not going to, nobody's going to elect him. And it's a serious issue. And yet the federal government wants it open and the bankers want it open. And so the people of Texas are going to have to get more serious. This isn't going to, we're going to have to get serious about the right of Texas to have its own borders.
And I think with that, Ron, we'll start summing up today's show. But I think you're right. What's going to push this over the top, Ron and David, in my opinion, is enough of a groundswell to give Abbott the courage, hopefully with a little political peer pressure from Trump thrown in, the courage to do the right thing and to get reelected for that reason and to buck this internationalist system that Ron is referring to. David, do you have any final comments? How can people learn about Texans for closing the border?
Well, we all need to get together. Texas needs to get together and give Governor Abbott that political gut to do what's required for Texas. This Texas is going to change if we don't. The beautiful state that we all loved and grew up in is going to change. It's going to become like more like California if we don't do something now.
Thanks a lot, David. And I think Texans for Closing the Border can be found on Facebook, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, look it up on Facebook, Texans for Closing the Border. I'll put a link for today's archive at republicbroadcasting.org. Thanks for listening, everybody, live and on the archive. Check out livestream.com/Ron Avery/stop the presses for the video simulcast. Thanks again, David Callum and Ron Avery. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.